Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and this is Tough Talk Christian Radio. And we're here live from the Tough Talk Radio Network studios in Houston, Texas. Super excited today. As always, I always get excited when I am able to do my radio shows. For me, it's kind of started out as a form of practicing being able to speak better. And here we are, fast forward 7 years later. It's something that I do weekly. It's something that I train people to do, and it is something that I'm really passionate about doing. And God knows this isn't something I even thought about doing. It wasn't a box I could check on my list of things to do when I grow up. But as we all know, God places us in places that we have, well, we have no choice but either to fight it or go with it. And I've been blessed to understand the go with it part. Now, I got to say, I was a little stubborn along the way, and things took place in my life for reasons I did not understand, and some of them I still don't understand and may never understand in my lifetime here on earth. But the thing of it is it doesn't matter, because my faith in the Lord is what allows me to move forward and continue going when the times look confusing. Now, as a person, a business owner, a father, a husband, just a neighbor in the community, life is not easy. It's often complicated by the choices that we make as human beings. And we don't make the best choices. That's just probably the way we're wired. I'm not sure. I can speak for myself. I'm always doing what I would consider the right thing. You know, I get up in the morning, I spend my quiet time in my Bible, I read a little bit, I try to mind my manners all day long, I try to do the right thing, I try to, you know, pray before every meal, and I try to speak to God when I need to, and I try to give Him praise. And I keep saying I try, right? Because I don't always remember. Sometimes I get excited. Sometimes I get caught up in the day. Tell you something that happened to me this week. You know, a lot of my listeners might have seen that we were doing a radio webinar, a webinar on doing internet radio on Tuesday night, and got all ready to do it. And we were 5 minutes to countdown to go live. And the screen came up and it said, "This webinar has been canceled." So the first thing that came to my mind was, oh, I wonder what I'm going to learn out of this. I wonder what the process is here. Well, maybe not the first thing that came to my mind. First thing that really came to my mind is, oh, my goodness, now what? I have all these people registered. This is supposed to take place. I went into freak-out mode. So about 10 minutes goes by, and now it's 5 after 5. And people are starting to email me, text message, Facebook me, saying, what happened? It says that it's been deleted. Of course, I didn't have an answer because I didn't know. And I've been doing radio for a long time, producing shows, training people how to do it, but webinars are new to me. And I've been on webinars, but to actually run the webinar, it was new to me. So I got to wondering. And I got to complaining, and within a 30-minute period of time, I realized that it's too late now. It's over. So there must have been a better meaning there. There must have been more of a message that I'm not seeing yet. But as always, I'll see it as I get further down the path, right? So as I went in and looked at the analytics, I had over 40-some people registered for the webinar. Well, that was kind of frustrating, except the fact that I did find out that people were interested in it. So that was good. I went back in and looked at different things and figured out that, well, I might have did this wrong, I might have did that wrong. I tried to get a hold of support. That didn't work out too well. You know, customer service today isn't always that great. But when you're in times of situations like that, what do you do? to yell, scream, punch something, throw something, complain, drop to your knees and pray. What do you do? Well, for me, I got my wife. We went across to a highway and had some dinner just to get out of the environment. And, you know, I asked God to just help me work through this. Now, you know, I think that there would have been a lot of things that had taken place that would have allowed me to think that he was working with me on that. You know, like I could have got a noise, a sound, an offer from a big company. I don't know. What I do know is nothing happened. I went and had dinner, and I came home. I was worn out. I was tired, stressing out. Woke up the next day and scheduled another webinar practice. Tried it out. Seemed to work okay. Did another practice schedule for today. We'll see how it goes. Will I ever know why it happened? Maybe not. Will it be better the second time? Probably so. But at the end of the day, I can't do nothing about what took place. So it's always about making a choice. You know, here at Tough Talk, we're getting ready to release another book, a compilation book that we put out, because it's really important for people to tell their journeys in life, their testimony in life. And that's what this show has, why I took this show and put it up from Tough Talk with Tony Gambone to Tough Talk Christian Radio. We never realize all the miraculous things, all the miracles, all the great things that happen in our lives. We always just remember the, oh my goodness moments, or oh, not again, or I can't believe this is happening. So when you sit down and you write it down, maybe you journal, maybe you're an author, maybe you've authored a book. When you write it down in a chapter in a book, you get to look back at your life and go, hey, I've been really blessed. I'm so thankful for the opportunities that I've had. We're so busy complaining about what we don't have and how fast we don't get it that we never sit down and recognize the strength that we've gained and all the yeses and all the smiles and all the happy tears that we've gained in our lives. We just never recognize it. Probably because we're very entitled, spoiled, and just feel as though it's all about us. And hey, listen, you know, I haven't mastered that. But I do know that every day things go wrong. And it's a choice that I need to make on how I'm going to handle that so-called what went wrong. It's never an easy choice, but that's how you know it's an important choice. So make sure when you're traveling through your day to stop and think back of all the blessings God has given you. Maybe you journal. Maybe you just need to sit down and draw a line on a piece of paper and make it look like a giant T, one across side to side and one down the middle. And write down all the good things that have happened to you so far in the year 2015 up to the day June 11th. We're halfway through the year. And then on the other side, write down some of the things that didn't happen so good for you. Weigh it out. Were the smiles better than the frowns? What were the choices that you made when you went through that process? Have you ever sat down and thought about all the ups and downs that you've had in your life from the time you went to high school to today? Have you ever thought about all the different things in your relationships that went up and down, good or bad? Have you ever sat down and spoke to God about it? Now, you know, it's kind of hard to do that, especially for guys. Like, you know, we're busy being men. And women are busy being moms. But the fact of the matter is, all that's irrelevant. You got to put God first and see what happens second. That's it. There's no more than that. Put God first and see what happens second. Now, every day I write something on Facebook about the tough talk that matters. And today I put something on there that I read this morning. It says, take time to think about this. God is in the business of doing miraculous things. You should never be afraid to ask him for a miracle. So when I read that, I was like, oh, God, please send me a miracle and let my webinar work when I do it again. Just a little thing, right? because it didn't really do too much to me to harm me, except frustrate me. And that's only because I allowed that choice to take place. So I hope today that you'll learn from our guest, and you'll learn from that little bit of a monologue about how important it is to give it to God, how important it is to recognize what he's already given you, how important it is to know what he's bringing to you. And you don't know what he's bringing. You don't know when he's bringing it, but you do know that he's bringing it to you. So if you don't know much about what I'm talking about, maybe it's because you haven't found the Lord in your life yet. Maybe it's because you don't spend time quietly with him or in the Bible or in a Christian-based book. If you need to do that, start today. Okay? It's real easy. All you have to do is get on your knees and tell God that you accept him into your heart and that you would just love for him to guide you through life. And go to a church by you and learn. Just learn. Let us know how that goes. 347-989-1363 is the number to call into the show. We hope you call in. We hope you join the conversation. We've got some great guests. And listen, you know, I'm going to be selfish for a minute. God has blessed me with great guests every week on these shows. It's amazing what I learned from it. Today we have two guests, a gentleman by the name of Brad Rainey, and I've interviewed Brad, and he's been on other shows in our network here at Tough Talk Radio Network in sales, and you know, he's been doing coaching and training and recruiting for a long time. But how did he get to this process is what we're going to hear today, and you're going to be surprised, you men out there. Okay, it's really important to understand the value of being a leader, because men are supposed to be leaders, right? There's a process that you might not be looking at. So you're going to learn a lot from Brad. And Dr. Verdi Roundtree Letterman here from Houston, Texas. I'm excited to have her on as well. She's an author of a few books, and we're going to learn more about her as well. So make sure to go to toughtalkradionetwork.com, check out all the list of shows. Hit us up on Facebook. You can find me under Tony Gambone or Tough Talk Radio. Find us on Twitter, TTR Network. Okay, we're always looking to build relationships with the people out there across the country and around the world. So don't hesitate to email me, tony@tonygambone.com. Okay, we're going to take a commercial break and come back with our first guest, so stay tuned. You're going to enjoy this show.
Are you looking to simplify your life and automate your business, but don't want to mess with learning multiple systems to do so? Good. You don't have to. Infusionsoft combines everything your business needs. Let the team at Growth Coaching Systems set up your email, CRM, and e-commerce into a single online system today. It's the easiest way to grow sales and save time. One monthly payment, one software to learn, and have it all on one dashboard. Infusionsoft. Get it now and market and sell like the pros. For more information or to sign up for Infusionsoft, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com/Infusionsoft.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. And You know, if you missed the beginning of the show, make sure to go back and listen to it. There's some information in there for you men out there that I think is needed. Always speaking about men, because I am a man and I don't claim to understand women well enough to be able to speak about that, but we'll have a lady on later today. Will. And as a man, I know that us men out there need to understand the definition of being a leader. So you can find more about that by going into your Bible. Okay, check it out. Let us know how that goes for you. Okay, so my first guest is a gentleman by the name of Brad Rainey. And, well, you know, he's been coaching people and training people for many years now, over 25 years. And his business it was founded on three spiritual gifts. And we're going to talk about that here in just a second. So, Brad, welcome to the show.
Tony, glad to be on the show. Like you mentioned earlier, I've been on a number of different topic type shows that are actually on the network, and I've enjoyed all those. But this is the one I was really looking forward to, because everything that's happened to me in the last 7 to 8 years has been a spiritual gift. It's been an opportunity to really explore things that I was given and really understand what to do with them, and everything else has kind of come out of that, and this is kind of the format where I can do that. I do a lot of work with churches, so a lot of work with individuals that are have a real Christian mentality and a real Christian heart, and in those environments I'm able to speak directly about what happened to me and how to share that. Sometimes when I'm doing corporate stuff, they ask me not to mention it, or, you know, kind of gloss over it because they don't want to offend anybody in the room and all those kind of things that happen. So I have to do that. But the people, what's interesting is, even if I don't mention it, the people in the rooms that want to hear it still hear it, and they'll come up to me at the end and say, "Oh, I heard what you said." I'm like, "Well, about what?" "Well, you're a Christian, aren't you?" And well, yes, but you didn't hear me say that in there, because they wouldn't let me. He goes, "No, I heard it. I heard it in your heart. I heard what you were saying." So it really doesn't matter whether you try to put a blanket over it or not. The heart and the soul and the power comes out, and people hear it. And it's amazing the work that God does in rooms where you can't even mention his name. And that's the kind of opportunity. And I'm hoping to share a little bit of that passion and power with your audience this morning. Glad to be here.
Well, Brad, you know, it's funny. You said the last 7 years you've been on a spiritual journey. I found the Lord 5 years ago, this past Easter, and you know, I'll be 59 next month, so I'm a late bloomer. I've always claimed not to be the smartest tool in the shed, but maybe the stubborn enough to keep on hanging on to learn something. And what I found in that process was, doing radio, they say, you know, don't talk about religion or politics. And I surely don't need to talk about politics. And one day my wife asked me when I was going to start mentioning the Lord on radio. And I was like, well, you know, I've always been told, and I'm a speaker as well, and I run networking groups, and I've had people come up to me once I decided to use that wording more freely, and tell me that the reason why they joined our group was because of my faith. And, you know, I started writing books, getting people to tell their stories, because of what the Lord placed in my heart was the proof of a miracle. And, you know, when something great happens, it's like when you buy a new car, you surely show it off. So when a miracle in your life happens, it's hard to keep quiet about it. And when you're speaking to a group of people, whether you're allowed to mention the word or not, the word is always spoken, and the people in the room that need to hear it, well, God's pretty powerful, right? So that's awesome that people come to you and talk about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because, you know, like I said, there, a lot of what I do begins with these vowels that I helped to create a few years ago. I kind of, they're words that we hear every day, but I kind of collected them into a unit, and it's attitude, energy, effort, integrity, intensity, outlook, and uniqueness, the seven habitual characteristics that start with the EI or U. And the attitude, I would have made it the first vowel, even if it wasn't the A, because it's sort of the engine that drives the whole train. And what happens inside of that is, it begins the whole process of breaking down the fact that you're here for a greater purpose. You know, one of the things that I actually talk about within attitude is, each day is a gift. and the fact that if you believe that this is you open up this box every morning and inside it could be, you know, an average every day Wednesday, it could be the best day of your life. It could be, if I'm talking to job seekers, you get that job call. If I'm talking to coaches and trainers and people working, you find a way to take your business to the next level. If it's within the Christian faith, you open that box up and there's a smiling opportunity for you to know that someone cares about you at a much higher level and that you're created for a specific purpose. It could be that it's a, you know, it could be a bad day box. I've got a mother who's 86 with health problems, and I'm probably going to outlive her. That's the way it normally works. So at some point I'm going to have a bad day box to open. But the cool thing about these boxes, Tony, is that they last 24 hours. They have a time code on them. And unless you want to bring positives from yesterday into now, you don't take anything negative from today into tomorrow. It's a box that you live with. It goes for exactly 24 hours, and you get another one to open the next morning. So each day to me is an actual gift. And when I look inside that box and see what's there in the morning, like, you know, I got up this morning, did a few things around the house, you know, looked at my calendar and went, the gift I have today is this opportunity to share with you and with your listeners. And hopefully there's one or two people out there that go, yeah, that was important. That made a difference to me. And that's the power you and I have, is to actually affect change on others. It's a ripple in the pond. And that box today is something that I don't care what happens the rest of the day. This next few minutes is really important and really makes a difference to me. And I hope that, you know, as we have the conversation, that people will begin to feel the power that you and I have seen. And it's one of those things that, if, you know, you're starting your day and each day is a gift, what can stop you during the day? What problem, what hole, what mountain do you have to climb that's going to stop you if you realize that you've been given this next 24 hours? What are you going to do with it? That's your choice. God's given you a gift. The question is, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah. And, you know, I had mentioned earlier about, you know, what had went wrong in my week. And, you know, how frustrating it gets. And you make a really good point. Every day you get to open up a new box. And it's a choice that you make whether you want to carry the box from day to day or just close it at the end of the day and start out fresh the next day. Because sooner or later, if you don't carry that box along with you, it does show back up with an explanation of why it happened. But when you carry it with you every day and you keep carrying the box, you don't. You have so many boxes on hand, you don't get a chance to see the goodness in the box. All you do is carry around the badness, and we always end up creating whatever it is that we're carrying around with us. So that's a great way to put it. I like that. You get to open up a new box every day, and you shouldn't. I mean, I try not to go more than 24 minutes, and I'm really happy when I make it 26 hours. So, you know, it's a struggle every day. But I think you have a good point about having that terminology. It's a kind of like a reference point. Okay, so it's really going terrible today. The good news is that, you know, if I wake up tomorrow, I get to start all over with a fresh new look. So, but a lot of us get stuck. I'll give you, for instance, here in Houston, drive time, you know, you could spend an hour and a half in traffic to go 30 miles. Now, for me, it doesn't work too well. Thank God I don't have to do that. But how do those people get past that is what I wonder. How did they not get to work and become disgruntled? How do they not drive home in that and not be agitated with their family? And for me, I know that there's a lot of people that don't make it through that process, but there's people that are making it because of their faith, because they know what they're supposed to do. And I spoke about men being leaders. When they come home from work like that, they're supposed to leave everything in the glove box. Or as you put it, just close the box and open up a new box when you get in the house. So my question is, can you have more than one box to open a day?
You know, that whole trigger that begins in the morning, I think is important. I think it really sets tone. If you're if you decided it's going to be a negative day and you're looking for all the negative problems that are happening, it may be till 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon when you drop your coffee cup that your son or daughter made for you in class and with your name on it, it finally shatters and you go, I knew it was a bad day. And you draw a direct line between that moment and when you got out of the shower at 7 o'clock in the morning. I call it the shower decision. By the time you get out of the shower in the morning, you've decided what kind of day you're going to have. And part of that, each day is a gifting. I even have a plaque that hangs in my master bath that my wife found that has the each day is a gift on it, because I'm not Mr. Happy in the morning. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a morning guy. My son and I, as I'm taking him to school, we'll have these guttural 2 or 3, you know, monosyllabic exchanges between the time he gets in the car and gets out in 7 minutes at the high school. And I'm not really that great about it. I have to work at it. But my wife found this and said, if you're going to teach this, if you're going to be this, if this is part of your book and, you know, all the things that you do with attitude, you need to see it every morning, my friend. And she hung it up in the bathroom. So I honestly believe that by the time I got out of the shower, if I've not had that real experience yet where I feel good and I know what my day is going to be like and I've got a plan, I get out of the shower and look at that and it gets me immediately. I'm like, okay, God, you got me. You know, I understand now that I'm opening this door, and whatever I see on the other side is up to me. It's not what happens to me. It's my reaction to what happens to me. And that's really the whole thing behind it. I think you may have smaller ones to open during the day, but I think that if you start with the one and you really understand that this is your opportunity, you know, you've got another 24 hours on this earth. You've got an opportunity to affect people positively. There's going to be things that happen. They're not going to be great. You're not going to love every moment of every day. That's a given. That's part of life and the overcoming and the growth that has to occur. But the bottom line is you've got to start somewhere. And I started with a fresh, clean slate in the fact that there may be a challenging box that day. There may be a beautiful, open, wonderful thing to open, and you see everything that's coming great for that day. Maybe, like I said, maybe it's just an average every day. I got to go to work, got to take care of the bills, pick up the kids, and it just kind of goes by. But you choose, and that's the point. And the fact that you're in control, the fact that I even have that and understand that, I can tell you that I didn't get that gift until I was in my late 40s. And I was in broadcasting, and we got moved around quite a bit through the years. If you're good, they move you, and if you're bad, you move yourself. And we got moved around on both cases several times. And I was in one of those opportunities where the company had come to me and said, hey, you're great. We're buying another property in another market. We want to send you up there to infiltrate it and take our beliefs with us, and we really want you to go. And my family was entrenched where we were living. And we just loved it. We had great church, great friends. We're close to the beach. We had, you know, we didn't want to move. And so I turned down the job twice. The third time the phone rang, it was from the VP of the entire company saying, do me a favor. We really need you. Your attitude and all the things that you do, you bring there, the strategies, and we need it. Do this favor for me. Move up there. I'll take care of you. So I went to my wife, prayed about it. My mother was experiencing some health problems at that time, and I thought, well, maybe I'll get a little closer. You know, it's a little closer from where we are, and I justified it. And I decided it was okay and that God was really sending me to where we were supposed to go. They got up there, Tony, and it was the worst experience we ever had. About 3 or 4 months into the opportunity, the guy who I committed to move left the company. And as soon as he left the company, the people that were there turned on me like a whole pack of coyotes, because I was the outsider, and it became a terribly destructive, negative environment. My family wasn't happy to be there anyway, and now I'm not happy, and now I get angry. And now I'm at the point where I'm like, what have you done, God? Why did you bring me here? I thought this was supposed to be a good thing. I was supposed to be good for my family. I thought I was supposed to be close to my mother. And I got angry. And I decided I was not going to be in broadcasting anymore. I was going to reinvent myself. And this is where the magic happened. I contacted this company, nationally known company. I'm not going to mention the name, but nationally known company that helps you. It's basically a mental colonoscopy. They get up inside your head and dig around and try to figure out what you're made to do. And I wanted to reinvent myself and remarket myself with new job skills and abilities, because I've been in broadcasting for 20 plus years. I needed to know what those were. Well, they go through this process, and I'm sitting down with them for the first day, and it's 8 hours, and it's a bunch of, I mean, literal, why'd you do this? Where'd you come from? Tell me about your past. I mean, not just what do you want to do. It was a real psychological evaluation. I go home, and then every day for 21 days, for 1 hour a day, these questions pop up online. And you have 1 hour to answer them, and the computer will, or the program stops. and I couldn't figure out what it was doing. And it took 21 days of these different questions. And basically what I learned is you can change anything about yourself in 21 days, medically proven. This was one of those things where I was experiencing these, you know, why did they ask me that yesterday? What are they going to ask me today? What in the world could they ask me tomorrow? And I was worried about all these questions and why they were asking me these things. And what emerged after all this lengthy process that took over 3 weeks was that there were three things that I was really gifted with: writing, speaking, and empowering those around me to be the best they can be. And once I realized that, once I looked at those, it's like, that's not a job skill. That's not a life skill. That's a God thing. That's a gift. I've been given these things to share. What am I doing with them? So I immediately went to God and went, okay, I see them. You're giving them to me. They're tangible. I can understand what they are. What do I do with them now? And what I got back, Tony, was, are you ready for this? I'm like, yes, sure, boss. Let's go. And it was like, this is the e-ticket ride at Disney, my friend. You sure you want this? And I'm like, yes, you've shown them to me. Let me use them. And we decided that we wanted to move back to where we came from. I picked up the phone and called a few people. I had 2 phone calls, an email, and 1 lunch, and had a job back in the market where we had been moved from because I'd built a good reputation. And I started this whole thing with the vowels from nowhere. It came out of absolute total desperation. I was trying to get the team that I was coaching through 2009, which was the worst economic year since 1930. And I would just literally wrote down a bunch of words that were important to me. They happened to all start with AEIOU. It started all of this, ended up having me write a book, start a website. The book is sold on 3 continents. I toured behind it for a year while working a full-time job. And my wife looked at me at the end of 2011 and said, you're 50, not 30. You worked 361 days this year. I know God's got your heart. He's pushing you in a bunch of different directions, but you can't burn the candle at both ends and torch it in the middle. What are you going to do? Is this a business or is this a hobby? And she challenged me, and she was right, and I started the business full-time in 2012. That whole story is not about me starting a business. That whole story is about finally, after 47 years or 46, 47 years, me finally being able to be man enough to listen and stop thinking that I had all the answers. Once I saw those 3 things that came out, this email came back and said, here are the skills and abilities we're going to try to market. And they were looking at them as marketable skills, and I immediately saw them as gifts. And from then, Tony, everything else has happened. Having a second book out, having the success that it's shown, having people write me big checks to come speak to big organizations, have me come into churches and work with people I don't know, and have people come to me and put their arm around my shoulder and cry and go, I can't believe you're here. This made so much difference. Tony, that's not me. I can't do that. I'm not equipped to do that. That's a God thing. I've been allowed these gifts and allowed these opportunities because I finally was smart enough, desperate enough, whatever it was, to be quiet enough and let him take over. And what's interesting right now in the work that I do, 85% of the people that I work with are female, because women, and you're going to hear this in your other guests, I'm sure, women don't think they know everything. They either want to help each other, or they're ready to continue to grow themselves. They want to help their family. And there's another stat that I heard on one of your other shows, 92% of women want to give something to someone else because it validates them. They feel like if they can give something to someone else, that it gives them a validation for what they're doing. So no wonder they like what I do. The men that come to me are desperate. They're angry. They're in a space where they can't relate to what they're doing anymore. They're just desperate, and they're ready to change, but it's by force. The women are so open and so ready and so willing to listen that's where it connects. But however it works, my friend, that's the power. And it can happen to you when you're 20 or 40 or 70. It happened to me in my late 40s, and the last 7 years has been an e-ticket ride, no doubt. And I'm learning from it every single day.
Well, you know, Brad, time goes fast here on the shows, as we know, because you've been on our shows a few times, and some great information. And so before we head out, one of the things that I want to talk about, okay, and we don't have much time, so what I want to do is I'm real passionate about making sure that men understand the value of being a leader. And being a leader, from what I understand, it's about being the one responsible to make sure everything goes right. Now, we know that the mother, the wife of the house, is the glue. We know that. They keep it all together. But a man is really supposed to be the ultimate leader. And can you leave something for the men out there to understand why it's important for them to be the best them they could be?
Well, you know, I would love to have the magic sauce to get this through to every man. But again, we all think we know where we're supposed to go. We don't ask for directions. We won't even ask for the right aisle in Walmart. We tend to just fumble around and try to figure it out on our own. That's the caveman mentality. Go out and take care of what you got to take care of, but do it yourself. The biggest thing you must understand if you're a man and if you're in any type of leadership role, whether it's you have a family or whether you have a business or whether you have a church group or anything where you're the person that they look to, is the role model aspect. We are all role models. I don't care if Charles Barkley believes that or not. We are all role models. And the key is, what are you showing? What are you telling your children? What are you telling the people around you? What are you telling your group that you work with if you don't try to grow and change yourself? I don't have even an instant to believe that I know everything or that I'm through learning. If I do, I might as well just, you know, curl up in a ball and die. You've got to be open to new ideas. You've got to be open to change and growth. And you've got to be open to look at yourself in the mirror and decide whether that's who you want to be, or it's who you think you are, or the instant where it really works, who God wants you to be. And that was different for me. If you had told me 7 years ago I was going to write, you know, not only one book but two, and do all the speaking stuff and travel, and I would have told you were nuts, that I was just a sales manager in a TV station and I knew that business and I'd grown up in it, and that was my legacy. But all this stuff happened once I figured out there was much, much more there, and all of us have that. This is not a unique quality for me. We all have it, Tony. It's a matter of being able to open that little door and let it out, or get in there and try to understand what it is. But you have to be willing, and you have to take a few moments a day and say, you know what, I just want to learn something new. I want to read something different. There's a great graphic that's going around LinkedIn right now. It's a little circle up in one corner, and it says your comfort zone. And down in the right-hand side is a big, giant circle that they don't touch, and it says, but this is where the magic happens, meaning you got to get outside your comfort zone to find what is really exciting and challenging in your life. And that goes for everything. You know, you do networking groups. That's exactly the whole philosophy with that. But what it comes down to is, as a man, as a leader, you got to get outside your comfort zone. You got to learn to be what you were built to be, not what you think you are.
Well, Brad, we're up against the clock. I really appreciate your time. As always, I love spending time with you, and we'll have to have you back on the show. I hope you have a great day down there in Florida, and I hope that people will take the time out to go and visit with you. So just as you leave, tell everyone how they can find you.
You know, Tony, I do things relatively simple. It's the www.bradraney.com. The email address is brad@bradraney.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm pretty easy to find. Love to connect with people. If you've got a church group or a men's group that's looking to do something different, or you know, you're a leader and you're not really sure if you're at full capacity, I'd love to help you try to find that, because that's the gift that I've been given, is that little shovel to dig in your backyard and help you understand that you've been given gifts you don't know you have.
Awesome. We appreciate your time, Brad. You have a great day, and we'll be back right after this commercial break with our next guest.
Entrepreneurs, it's time to get real. Stop working so hard and learn to do the things that matter. If your business is not successful and you know your stuff and are getting results for your clients, it's not your fault. The good news is you can change it, and your bottom line. All it takes is having the right strategy and being able to follow a consistent plan for your business success. Learn how at Michelle Sism's 3-day event in Houston in September. Go to takeactiongetprofits.com to learn more.
All right, and welcome to Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone. You can find us every Thursday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. You can go to toughtalkradionetwork.com. to find all the shows that we do here weekly on the network. We just finished up with Brad Rainey, And as I mentioned, you know, I've always been very passionate about helping men understand the value of the steps they take in their day. And I also know that women are a very, very important part of it. I was at a men's conference a couple weeks back, and one of the pastors that spoke there said they said that they made their wife their accountability partner so that they were there 24/7. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. How brave is that? So I came home and I said to my wife, I want you to be my accountability partner. But please give me some time to gain the strength to be okay with the truth that you're going to tell me. So I love that fact that I'm working on that. So I hope men out there will take advantage of trying to do something like that to someone that really knows you when you're bluffing. Dr. Verdi Rountree Letterman is an author, a psychologist, a director of psychology services in the Houston Police Department. We hear a lot of things about the police departments nowadays. It's all over social media, the news. It's blown out of proportion. I know there's always two sides to the story. But we're going to be able to get some information from Dr. Letterman on that. But more importantly, I want to talk to her about women and their role in the leadership part in their house. You know, I mentioned that they're the glue, right? They're the thing, they're that substance that keeps everything together in a household. So, Dr. Verdi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so very much.
So, I have been waiting to interview you because of a mutual friend that we have, Miss Sandy Lawrence. And I've heard so many great things about you. I don't know where to start. So I'm just going to go slow here, right? I know that you're in Houston, but where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Louisiana via the military. My father was an officer in the Army, and so I grew up as a military dependent.
So you got to travel.
We did. We traveled quite a bit in the United States and in Europe as well.
And you got to, as a child, experience a lot of different things that most children in today's world don't ever even never get the chance to even maybe even read about it.
Absolutely. And as a child, of course, I didn't fully appreciate what I was being exposed to. But now when I look back, I realize that I understand cultures and diversity and just differences among people at a level, and I can appreciate those differences at a level that so many people have not had the opportunity to do, and they don't do that. So I value that childhood now in ways that I cannot fully express in words.
You know, I always say God has a funny sense of humor, and I don't know whether he just smiles or laughs real hard at a lot of different things that we've come across, but I think, you know, I worked 20 years in the gaming industry, and so from the bottom of the ladder to the top of the ladder in the casinos. And I dealt with people from all around the world as employees, as co-workers, and as guests in the casino. I never realized all that time the education I was gaining on culture and communication and relationship building. I never had it. Never popped up, so kind of like what you're saying. When you received that aha moment, what path did you decide to go on and why?
I wasn't sure. I had a high school teacher who said to me, in Germany, as a matter of fact, that one day I would be a bridge between the races. And as a high school student, I couldn't grasp that at all. But what I have found is that I have truly been a bridge between races and genders and religious groups and age groups in a way that the barriers have been able to come down and people have been able to relate and develop relationships with each other because of some of the work that I've done with them. And I see that in my private practice. I see that when I speak to large groups. I see that when I speak across groups. So what I have done is just taking that into what I call my healing arena, and I just use that experience and use that gift, as your last speaker said, just be that bridge between people, the way I think God would have us bridge those gaps and come together. So I'm a clinical psychologist, and I do therapy, and I speak and I teach any opportunity that I'm given.
So I'm looking at your website, and it's am I spelling, is this, pronouncing your last name right, Letterman?
Letterman.
Okay, like, Letterman. Like so letter. It's birdieletterman.com.
Yeah.
People need to go there and check out. There's so much stuff that you do. I got to have you on just for a whole hour, because there's
a lot of things.
Well, there's a lot of things to touch on here. I mean, I right away go to people's books, okay? And one book is, if God wanted to talk to you, would you listen? And it looks like it might be a children's book.
There's also a children's book. That is the children's book.
Okay, and then the other book is When God Speaks, People Who Hear Are Healed.
Yes.
Now, you know, I'm always trying to hear a voice, right?
Right.
I've had to come to terms with the fact that I'm not going to hear the voice, but I might hear a whisper if I can get quiet enough. But what I really hear is I kind of see more than I hear. You know what I mean? I see the results.
Sure.
I see the answers. So
Sure.
Do you think a lot of people get stuck on listening for the word and not paying attention to what they see?
Yes. And it's a combination. It's not either or, because God is not going to speak to us and then not show us something. Or God is not going to show us something that he doesn't want us to understand. That's his way of speaking in that moment, in that situation. In the children's book, I explain it to the children so that they can understand what I'm talking about, because children don't have the intellectual ability to conceptualize concepts like this. But I explain it to them. If I could read you an excerpt from my children's book that says it very clearly so that they can understand. Can I do that?
Oh, yes, please.
Sure. I say, first, if you want God to talk to you, you must be very quiet and still. When God talks, he won't shout. You can't listen to God while you watch TV, talk on your iPhone, or play Xbox. Second, if you want to listen to God talk, you must know what his voice sounds like. Have you ever been in a crowded place and got separated from your parents? If they called your name, wouldn't you say, I know that voice, that's my mom or dad? God's voice is like that. People who have talked to him a lot know his voice when they hear him speak. And that's straight out of the Bible, when Jesus said that my sheep know my voice. And that's the way it is. When we are the sheep of God, we do know his voice. But we know his voice the more we listen to his voice. So I teach kids to listen to God's voice, their heart. Because you're right, we're not going to necessarily hear an audible voice, but we will know in our heart that God spoke that to us. And so that's how I teach children to listen and recognize God's voice. And I don't care if you're a 5-year-old child or a 95-year-old child, we are all God's children, and we can all listen to his voice and for his voice with the ears of our heart.
Yeah, I like that. And we never forget the sound of the voice of our parents.
Never, never.
No matter how old we get. Yeah, so that's a great way to put it.
And
that's
kids
a great
can,
way
kids
to
can
put
grasp
it.
That. They can grasp that.
I read a book by a local pastor here, Kerry Shook. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of him. But And the book, he says to try to be quiet for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it takes me about 14 minutes to get all the thoughts and stuff on my head to stop moving around.
Sure.
And then I'm
like,
well, I got to start doing something because I can't sit here all day.
Right.
What do you think about that? How do you tell people to practice trying to get quiet?
Wow, that's a good question. Again, I'm a psychologist, so I always know there's more than one answer to most questions. But I think the first thing people have to do is to discipline themselves to quiet the noise. And some of the noise is in our head, and some of the noise is in our environment. And so we can't have the TV on, and we can't be answering calls and looking at our email. We really have to tune out the world so that we can concentrate on hearing God's voice, because he won't shout. So first of all, it's quiet the noise. Second of all, is put yourself in a place of expectation that I expect to hear. I want to hear. I seek to hear. So you have to be intentional, and you have to be active in that role. You don't just passively expect something to happen. And then I like what you said. Then you look for the evidence. Did something change? Did you see something? Did you feel something in your heart in response to that? Because God is able to speak to us in a 30-second sound bite that is more powerful than any 45-minute lecture or speech that someone else might make. So it's not a matter of time as much as it's really a matter of focus and intentional expectation. And God is faithful. He will not just leave us hanging out necessarily. So that's sort of my three-prong approach to preparing to hear from God. And you do have to do it regularly.
Right, so before you look at your phone in the morning, before you touch your computer, before you do any, I should say I'm speaking for myself, because if I don't take the steps of touch nothing but the Bible first, I have distraction. It just, I can't, you know, people blame it on Satan. I say, Satan, get out of my world out loud. I do all these different things, but the thoughts are there. Only because I didn't discipline myself to sit down to start properly. Would that be correct?
I agree with that partially. Our mind is an amazing mechanism, and it has thoughts, and they come and they go and they flow and they race, and we really can't control that unless we intentionally meditate as much as we think we can, because it's alive and it's flowing fast. And I don't like for people to get caught up in the notion that if I don't do it at a certain time, then I'm either bad or it won't work or that's wrong. So I tell people to recognize what their lives look like, because a lot of time my best quiet time is before I go to bed and I'm settled and I'm ready to go to sleep, and then I can just be still and quiet. So each of us has to look at our own life schedule, and we still have to carve out the time and take everything else off of our agenda and focus on God. And what I have found is that when we make ourselves available, he'll find us. He loves to talk to us. And I think that's my message. You know, your previous caller talked about God's love, and I absolutely echo that love, that message that God's love is unconditional, never ending, and immeasurable. But the piece that I add to it, and he desires to talk to us. He wants to be a part of our lives in a dialogue. And when we seek him, he will find us. And that's the exciting part. And once that relationship is built, just like with our parents, you don't always have to seek your parents for them to come find you and tell you something. And sometimes you go looking for them, but other times they just reach out to us and say, hey, son, hey, daughter. And that is the same kind of relationship God desires to have with us. And that is just so exciting to me. I can't hardly contain it sometimes that the God of the universe wants to talk to Verdi Roundtree Leatherman. That blows my mind. Blows my mind.
Yeah.
And it's true, though. And it's true. And when I have learned and reached out and expected and maintained that level of discipline, he has blown me out of the water with the things he said to me, and I just am so humbled by the fact that he would speak to me in the circumstances that I face. And I just think too many people don't know that for themselves, and so that's my message, that's my ministry, is for people to learn that God wants to talk to his children, period.
Okay, so I want to shift a little bit. Because I have mentioned about men being leaders, and how important the explanation of being a leader is to men. It's not being the boss, it's being a leader by example of things. But I also mentioned that the woman, the lady of the house, you know, they say behind every successful man is a great woman. And I believe that. And I also know that a lot of times men take a lot of things for granted. So how is it that a woman does so many things in a house but doesn't feel as though they're qualified or aren't labeled as the leader? Because we have labels, right? I mean, even
right.
The Bible kind of says certain things about that. And the way you're supposed to treat each other as man and woman says it the best. But we get caught in this culture that we live in. Okay, so for women out there, what is some information that you can give them that would make them understand how they could recognize the value that they bring to the circle of family or the part of leadership or the quality of it all?
Anna, that's an exciting question because our culture doesn't define us. We are defined by our relationship with God, and He made us man and woman, and He did not make us the same. And women have been crafted. That's one of my favorite words. Women were crafted by God to be who we are, and it's crystal clear that our roles are not the same. But that is no different than the roles in the Trinity. The Trinity don't operate the same way, but they operate in relationship for the overall success, the overall purpose, the overall function of the Trinity. And so males and females in our relationships with each other and our relationships with our family are really no different. But women are not defined by culture. We're defined by God. And He gave us very specific, very clearly defined, unique roles in our marriages, in our family, and in the world. And we embrace that because they came from God, not because they're defined or limited or explained by the culture or by society. And so my first input to women is don't look to the culture to give you your identity, to give you your relationship, to give you your purpose, to give you your meaningfulness, because that will change, and it's oftentimes distorted. So I caution women, don't look to society or culture for that. Look to God, look to His Word, and understand what He has shown us and what He has said about who we are and what He has called us to do as women. And if nothing else, just think about the givers of life. I mean, we'll just put a period right there. That's an incredible responsibility that we are able to give life. So I laugh to some degree because I cannot let the culture stifle me or limit me or define me. But when I look at God's Word and how He made me, oh, I can just explode with excitement because I am uniquely crafted to be and do who I am. And we can look at the men. I love the stories you shared a minute ago. Men and women don't operate the same way, and that's not good or bad. That's just God's design.
Okay. So we're always up against the clock on these shows, and I promise you, Dr. Letterman, I'm going to set up a show just for me and you, 1 hour, maybe 2 hours, because I have a lot of stuff that I want to ask you. But I went to this men's conference, and they were talking about how a pastor went to his, you know, he talked about accountability and how he had an accountability partner met once a week. But what about the other 6 days of the week?
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about making his wife his accountability partner. Any comments on that?
Oh, absolutely. That is, you're referring to one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible about marriage. And it says they were naked and felt no shame. because if you are truly my husband, my wife, and we have that naked and unashamed approach to our marriage, our relationship, our family, who better than your spouse to be your accountability partner? And that doesn't mean you exclude other men and other women, because we are different. But if we are truly naked and unashamed, as the Bible says Adam and Eve were before sin, before the fall, that is where we should seek to go back to, because that was the design that God had in place before the fall. So I completely agree with that. I completely love that. But that does not exclude the support that men give men and the support that women give women. That is different. But
right.
I agree with you completely, and I love that, because God would have us be naked and unashamed because of the grace and the love and the mutual surrender, submission that we should bring to our marriages as husband and wife. I love it. I agree.
Awesome. Dr. Verdi, we're up against the clock. I do apologize. I have to exit out, because only people listening to the recording are going to be able to hear this part of it. And I am just so thankful and blessed that you were able to be a part of our show today.
I appreciate the invitation. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.